All right, let's start from Ephesians 6. We're going to be doing verse 16 and 17. We're going to be reading those part, but we're only going to be studying 17. But let's read from 16 to 18 then, all right? This is the word of God. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Amen. May you pray for us? Lord, I thank you for everyone here. Fill us with your Spirit, God. Help us to forget everything that really doesn't matter. God, there's so many things in life that just don't matter. Help us to be able to confess with the Apostle Paul that to live is Christ, to die is gain. Dying to gain Christ is the better end of the deal. So often we get caught up in the things of this world that don't matter. It doesn't even matter for a year. Some of the things that we worry about only matter for a day or an hour. And God, we lose focus on heaven, on eternity, on all these other things. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Give us eyes to see the truth. Help us to live to you. God, I know many are here who are tired. Spirit, I trust you will refresh them. I pray that you will use these words to glorify and maximize the glory of Christ, to make Christ more known, Christ more seen, Christ more loved. And I pray, Lord God, that this would equip them and strengthen them throughout this week. Fill us with your Spirit. Refresh and restore them, God. May they come empty, that they may be filled. Let them come weak, not strong, that your grace may be sufficient. Let them bring their sins, not their righteous record, but bring their sins and see it covered by the blood of Christ. May they bring their inability and see the Spirit working in them. God, we come before you humble so that we may depend on you. You are the giver. You are the living water, and we just come thirsty, needing you. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go over the helmet and the sword today. Now, it might seem like, we're finally finishing the armor of God. Actually not, because I'm part of those group of people who believe verse 18 is also part of the armor. I'm part of those people who believe prayer is also part of the armor. And so next week, we will finish the armor of God. And so this week, we're going over the helmet and the sword. And so the title of this sermon is Fully Loaded. Yeah, I really work really hard to think of these cheesy titles. I really do. Originally, I was going to go Locked and Loaded, but no, Fully Loaded is better. And so that's the way we're going to go today, all right? So verse 17, let's just read that again. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. So there's only 2 points today. The first one is this, the helmet of salvation. What is it? Well, first of all, helmets are really, really, really important. Some of you guys came from sports day yesterday, and you, for the first time, you guys are falling in love with football. Football. Now, one thing that's really important in football is the helmet. Why? Because there's so many concussions. Helmets really matter. But helmets matter even more back then when you're fighting in a war. For example, let's say Fabi is going into, it's the AD 30, okay? He's a Roman centurion, okay? He's going into battle. He's those barbarians, you know? And he's going to go and he's going to fight, okay? And he takes an arrow to the shoulder. Ooh, you know? He can still run around. He can still, with a sword. He can still do some stuff, all right? It's going to hurt, but he can still do some stuff. But let's say Fabi took an arrow to the head. Game over, man. Game over. No re, you know? It's done. Because the helmet protects the head. If you get anything done to the head, it's, you know, it's critical. It could be fatal. The helmet is very, very, very important. You can't overemphasize how important it is to protect your head. And so we see the helmet here is the helmet of salvation. Now, what is the helmet of salvation? Well, first, let's tell, there's a natural way we want to read this, but actually, we're going to see that it's not the way, which is The helmet of salvation does not mean get saved. That's not what it means. That's what it seems like it means, but it's not, because remember, he's writing this to the church. He's writing this to Christians. In fact, if you were not saved, you would not be in this army. You would not be in this war. So he's talking to Christians already, and he's saying, put on the helmet of salvation. So the helmet of salvation is something apart from just salvation itself. And it wouldn't make much sense for Paul to go through the armor of God. All right, fifthly, get saved. He's like, what the? You know, like, put on the belt of truth, put on the shoe, and then, oh yeah, don't forget, get saved. You know, like, and it's not like that. The helmet is something different than just salvation. Putting on the helmet is something that happens after salvation, as we see. Something that we need to choose to do. And what is it then? Where can we find it? It doesn't really matter what my interpretation is. Let's see what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 gives us a clue of what it is. So hard with a lisp. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. So many S's in that word. So it says, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's what Paul writes. The helmet, the hope of salvation. So the helmet is not just salvation itself, it's the hope of salvation. Your saved status is not something you put on. It's something you already are. It's not something you put on later on that someone has to command you, hey, put it on, because you already are that. So the helmet is the great hope in salvation. It's the confidence and assurance that your struggle, your sins, your battle will not last forever. There is a victory coming. There is a victory. There is a great salvation. We know the battle is only for this life, and no matter how long your life is on this earth, it will seem like a split second compared to eternity with Jesus. No matter how long your life is. The example I always give is, imagine if you were at a beach. A nice beach, not Santa Monica Beach, but a nicer beach. What's a nice beach? Long Beach. Okay, Kelsey, Long Beach guys are here. So let's say you guys went to Long Beach, okay? And you guys see, and you're standing on all this sand. And let's say one grain of sand was 80 years. One grain of sand is 80 years. Now, even if the entire, if you took all the sand on that beach and each grain is 80 years, would that still represent eternity? No. But here we are, and we're breaking our hearts over this one sand, like this small. And we're all like, oh, this is everything. Oh, I need everything here. This is all that matters. Oh, my goodness. Like, why is it? I can trade the entire beach away just for this tiny sand. For this tiny sand. And that's what we're doing. But eternity will make, no matter how long your life is, eternity will make your life seem short. That's the good news. You're in a race you can't lose. No matter how slow you are right now, no matter how much you're backsliding right now, no matter how often you go off this path, we will win in the end. We have hope in this salvation. God will, what he has started in you, he will finish, as it says in Philippians. And so we need to put on a helmet like this. A helmet that's the hope of your salvation. That means there are attacks coming, strikes coming to your spiritual life to hit your head, that are trying to destroy you. And if you're not protected by the hope of salvation, you might get knocked out. If the helmet is the hope of salvation, then what is the attack? What is it protecting us from? You don't want to get hit in the head. That's why in video games, there's something called headshot. Because it'll take you out. So what is that? It's the attacks from Satan that make you feel like there is no hope in salvation. That's the attack on your head. Satan makes you feel like there is no hope in salvation. When you feel like salvation is not worth hoping in. When you feel like God is not worth it. When you feel like salvation is not good enough, Christianity is not enough, when you feel like there is nothing God can do to make your life better, it's when you lose hope in what God is doing. That will knock you out of the fight faster than any other attack. Satan will strike you with weariness, doubt, insecurity, hatred, bitterness. He'll make you think the fighting will never stop. The struggle will always continue. There will never be rest for your soul. things will never, you'll never get better. Or, even more dangerous, Satan will make you think there is nothing God can do to make this fight worth it. And you will lose your hope and salvation if you don't have this helmet. Or, he'll make you think there is no gift, there is no reward, there is no satisfaction that God can give that will make all this crap worth it. That's what it looks like to lose your hope and salvation. That's what it looks like to take that shot in the head. Because that will take you out of the fight. When you start wondering, is this even worth it? Is God even worth it? And Satan is working so much, so intensely in your lives right now, in the church, in campus ministry, in your school. Satan is working to make people lose their hope and salvation. Satan is working so hard for them. He's trying to make people lose their joy in salvation. Because you know, when you lose your joy, when you lose your hope, you lose your desire for life. When you have something to live for, you know, like when you feel like, oh, it's a new day, or when you have something great, if you have a great vision, a passion, you get out of bed and just everything is awesome. Even when it's hard, you're able to go on. But when you take away what someone lives for, you fall into depression, hopelessness, despair. And it breaks your weary, every small trial breaks your weary soul when you have nothing to live for. And that's what Satan's trying to do. So Satan will try to come against every one of you. He tries to come against every one of us. For myself, it might look like this. Satan might try to tell me, Dan, why don't you just quit being a pastor? Is it worth it? Or, Dan, you know what? You should try doing, you know, like, yeah, Bible's good, exegesis is good, but you know, what will really get you a crowd? It's funny stories, you know? You should do that. If you do that, you'll get, you know, like, you'll be richer, you'll have a bigger, you know? And he's like, why are you doing these sorts of things? Or like, he might start speaking to you. Isn't it so discouraging living rightly? No one appreciates you guys. Just give up. Why continue? There's nothing God can do to make all this worth it. This, you know, just, life just sucks, okay? This path sucks. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's more comfortable just to give up. And he'll say all these things, just striking your head. So when these attacks on the hope of your salvation comes, trying to stop you, trying to kill your ministry, what must you do? Put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. The helmet protects us from Satan's discouragements. You need to remember, I have a great salvation. I have hope in my great salvation. Things are not lost. The world is not over. My life is not meaningless. My life is not lost. People are not unchangeable. Situations are not ultimate. Struggles are not eternal. Hurtful words are not final. Loneliness is not the end. Sins are not unforgivable. Failures are not unsalvageable. Because we have a living God, and He is in the business of bringing life out of death. He's in the business of resurrection. So for all of you who feel death, who feel things dying in your life, trust in the God who resurrects. Put on the hope of salvation and let it protect you. 2 Corinthians 4:17, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us, preparing for every one of you right now an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Right now, everything you're going through right now, all the crap, all the struggles, all the discouragement, all the loneliness, all the misunderstandings, all the longings, all the heartbreaks, is preparing glory for you. God is working for your good. He loves you. Things will not go on like that forever. Remember, it's just one grain of sand. Don't forget everything else. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary of doing good. In a due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. The hope of salvation absorbs the strikes and the blows and keeps it from killing us. The hope of knowing that our lives are not worthless. Your pain is not invisible. Your pain is not meaningless. God sees you, and God will reward you. The struggles you had deep when you're just alone, and you just wonder, will anyone ever know? God has always known. And God will pay you back. God sees what you're going through right now. When you feel like He's so far away, He's actually seeing you right now. He will comfort you. So hope. Protect your life with hope. Protect your head with hope. Satan's attacks will come continually, but it's okay. Helmets do not prevent blows. They just prevent them from destroying us. Helmets do not somehow deflect attacks. It just prevents it from hurting and doing critical damage. So put on the helmet of salvation. Put on that hope of salvation. Throughout the week, just put it on. Keep it on. And with that, I just want to really encourage you guys. Throughout the weeks from now on, I was talking to one of my missions professors, and we came to the conclusion that one thing we would like to do is on Tuesdays and Thursdays on our Facebook page, let's just, if you guys remember, don't worry, I'll be doing it, but put up, let's just start posting things that bless you. Whether it's a verse, whether it's an article you read, whether it's a song on YouTube or whatever, or quote, just start posting it up Tuesdays and Thursdays. You guys don't have to do it every day, but Tuesdays and Thursdays. And hopefully that will remind you to keep the helmet on. Keep the helmet on. So Tuesdays and Thursdays are Facebook days. All right, so that's the first one. Second one is this. The sword of the Spirit. And I'm really creative with my points today, huh? We have finally come to the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is obviously very different from the other parts of the armor. Can anyone guess what makes it so different? Can't hear. It's a weapon, that's right. Everything else was defending. The sword is the first time we come to an actual weapon, all right? This is important. You can't win a war with just shields unless you're Captain America. And your shield is your weapon. And he plays ultimate frisbees with the bad guys. Do we run to war today with just the strongest body armor, but with no weapons? No. You need something to fight back with. And it's really cool. We have an amazing weapon. And I want to really get you guys to feel like this is really yours. And this really matters. This is significant. Some of you guys know, I'm a big Star Wars fan. And one of the coolest scenes, like, throughout Star Wars is when people get their lightsaber. You know, like, it's so cool. Like, it really matters. You know, you guys know what it is, right? Zoom. You know? And so, it's always cool in a movie or a game when the hero gets his weapon, his signature weapon. All right? Luke gets a lightsaber. In Lord of the Rings, does anyone know the name of Frodo's sword? I hear it. Sting. Sting is the name. The Miracles. Oh, there's no nerds here. Everyone here is cool. Or King Arthur. What's King Arthur's sword? Excalibur. If you guys play game, what is in the Legend of Zelda? What is Link's sword? Master Sword. And so all these things. In a sense, in all these stories, the weapon really contributes to this hero's fight. In fact, the weapon somehow defines the hero's fighting style. The weapon is tied with the hero's war. And the point of all that is this. There is more to the Christian life than just defending. The church is more than a hospital. It's also an army. You see, the point of the church is not just to wait around until people get hurt and we just take care of them whenever they get hurt and they come here. The church needs to go out and fight injustice. We're not just supposed to be always on defensive. We're supposed to be on the move. We need to strike too. We're not just here letting injustice and Satan and all those just run rampant and we just take care of them. That's not responsible Christianity. We need to fight back. The church is an army on the move. You need a weapon. And sword is just so wonderful. It's the difference between a sword, the way a sword could do two things. It could defend and do offense, but the way that defends is a little bit different. Because the way that you defend with a sword is you parry. And if you guys know about parry, it's when you deflect their blade, and when you deflect their blade with your blade, what does that open up? It doesn't just protect you, it gives you an opportunity to strike. Parries are not just for protecting yourself, it's for striking back. So it's not just with Satan, like whenever he comes to attack you with your shield, ting, ting, and you just like block with your shield all day. It's like, I'm so tired, you know? You parry and then you can hit back. You can strike back. Swords are meant for battle. They're meant for offense. Remember, if Satan has a kingdom and dominion of lies, what is our weapon then? Truth. The word of God, truth. Now, when I was younger, I used to hear, oh, Satan, he's the father of lies. And I just thought to myself, oh my goodness, that's so lame. You know, like, because when you think of like I shared last week, like, when you think of like video games, like Diablo, you know, like, oh, dude, they make the evil one look so like crazy, you know? And then you would think like Satan would be like a, you know, the king of murder, you know, or like, or of genocide, you know? But he's the father of lies. Like, man, that's so lame in comparison. That's so tame. I remember I thought, oh my goodness, like, psh, Christianity. Until I started to do ministry. And as I've been pastoring with the word, here's what I realized as time went on. Lies kill people from the inside. Lies kill you from the inside. Lies are dangerous. Satan is the father of lies. Why? Why is it so dangerous? Lies make people live in a reality that does not exist. Lies make people live in a reality that does not exist. They start chasing for things that don't matter. They start getting hurt by things that they shouldn't get hurt by. They start believing things about God that were never true. They start believing things about themselves that were never true. And they're trapped in a reality that's not even true. Lies will kill you from the inside. Lies will isolate you. Lies will separate you from God, who is truth. Lies will make you believe God is not for you. He does not love you. That you are unlovable. That you're all alone. That people don't support you. That your world is falling apart and it will never get better. Lies kill. And that's when I realized how serious Satan is as the father of lies. Lies kill. Lies kill your heart. Lies kill your heart. Lies tear up your heart. Therefore, truth demolishes strongholds of lies. Truth shines light into the dark, dark reality of lies. Lies trap you in lies. Lies trap you in your own mind. And truth has to break through, break down the walls, and set you free to the reality of love, grace, peace with God. And everything that's true. Truth is an offensive weapon against the false realities created by lies. Swords are not accessories. Swords are not just something you own because they're cool. Swords are weapons. So many Christians own a Bible, but they don't know how to use it. Recently, a lot of people have been sharing, oh, like, how they enjoy, with our church, they've been enjoying our Fridays and our Sundays. Our Fridays and Sundays. They're like, oh man, it's been helping me. I love spending time with the Word. And they feel like, oh, I feel so blessed, blah, blah, blah. Do you guys want to know why? Do you guys want to know what's happening on Fridays and Sundays right now? What's happening right now? I'm doing war with this Word. I'm using this Word right now for warfare, and I'm demolishing strongholds of lies in our hearts. That's what I'm doing right now. And that's why you guys feel like, oh, I feel like, oh, the truth is breaking through. It's because I'm doing war by using the truth. And you guys are feeling it. I'm intently striking and destroying Satan's strongholds of wrong thinking. I'm fighting so that you will have hope in salvation. And this is my weapon. The word is my weapon. And so when I preach, I'm using the sword to strike Satan's kingdom, and you're feeling it. I don't have my sword out here just for you to just look at or you to admire. I'm using it right now. I'm applying it to all your hearts right now. I'm doing battle right now. That's what we're doing every Friday and Sunday. I'm using what it was made for. Swords are made for battle. And you need to learn how to use it. In Matthew 4, Satan comes to tempt Jesus. And Jesus quotes scripture exactly related to each temptation. He doesn't just throw all kinds of scripture everywhere. He doesn't just flail around his sword. He knows exactly. He's precise. He's exact. He's brutal against the temptation. He just strikes it down. And if you want to do this, you need to know scripture better and better. You need to know the word with well enough precision and well enough to strike with precision. Now, some of you might be wondering, but Pastor Dan, do I need to know the word that much? I mean, a sword is a sword. Like, do I really need to practice so much with this word? Can't I do some good? Can't God use me with little knowledge of scripture? And the answer is yes, of course he can use you. That's not the question. The question is, can he use me or not? Of course he can use you. But you will never be as effective in doing good, in healing others, and leading in worship if you don't know scripture well. And let me give you an example. I have no medical training. Okay, I despise biology. And I have no medical training. So if someone comes up to me and says, I have a headache, I just give them Tylenol. Like, just flat out, like, no matter how, like, you know, I just give them Tylenol. Now, my sister is studying medicine and stuff like that. And so if you go to her and tell her you have a headache, she might realize that the problem is not just random pain or lack of sleep, but maybe the problem was dehydration. So she'll say, hey, go drink water and have Tylenol. Or something, or whatever. So you see, the advice I gave will help numb the pain, but it didn't deal with the real problem. In the same way, if you don't know the word, you might help them temporarily, but if you do not connect them to what they really need in the word, it's a short-lived defense. You're just kind of numbing it so you don't feel it right now, but you haven't dealt with the problem. And so I want you guys to really know the word so you can really address the problem. You can really help people. Yes, you can do good without knowing the word deeply, but it will be like swinging your sword wildly, hoping that one of your strikes attacks Satan. Know your word to do more good. Know your word to do more good. Or another example, if you know the word even more, you might know it truly what's going on deeply. I like this example that just came to my mind. Right now. I remember what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon says a lot of churches right now, it's almost as if that Satan has poisoned the waters, and the congregation is just drinking poisoned waters. And instead of realizing what Satan is doing, all we try to do is try to treat the symptoms. Oh, you know, you have this headache. Oh, you need to rest more. You need to rest more. You need to open these windows. You need to take this soup. Instead of stopping Satan, instead of keeping him from poisoning the waters, I need you guys to know the word. Know the word deeply. The more you know the word, the more damage you're going to do to Satan's kingdom. God's word has the power and the answers to cut through armies of lies, decades of lies. So know the word. And as we close, I want to give you one practical part of the word I want all of you, including me, to focus on. Study and know deeply what the word says about Jesus Christ. You can cut through millions, billions, trillions of lies by knowing the truth concerning Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You can cut through armies of darkness just by knowing the truth about his gospel. You can do massive damage to the wicked strongholds by simply preaching Christ rightly. Know Jesus. As a sharp blade, like, use Jesus as a sharp blade that cuts through all the lies, cuts through all the strongholds. Let the good news of grace pierce their hearts, their hard hearts. Let the love of God pierce your cold, hard, dead heart. Let the love of God, let the grace of Christ, let the word of Christ save. If you need a place to start practicing your sword, start here. Start fighting the lies of Satan by attacking it with the truth about Jesus Christ found in Scripture. So I want you guys to keep studying Christ. Know Christ, know Christ, know Christ. Christ, 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 Christ. I want Christ to always be on your lips. Christ Jesus is everything. Christ Jesus is everything. So here's the conclusion. Next week we're going to wrap up the armor of God, but we're going to wrap it up also with this. A well-used set of armor is not one that is perfectly pristine in mint, brand new condition in a museum. A well-used set of armor is one that has been used till the end of the master's life, defending what is noble and good. Alright? The point of an armor is not to be pretty. It's supposed to be used. Use your armor. If at the end of your life, your armor is untouched and unused, you must not have seen battle. May none of you reach the end of your life in brand new armor. This battle for God's kingdom will rage on only in this life. And this life is coming to an end. There will be a day where your chance to fight is over. There will be a day where you won't need this armor anymore. The time to fight is right now. This life is the only life you have. This is the only chance you get to fight. Then you're gone. This is your last opportunity for battle. Your only opportunity. So let the marks of war be all over your armor because you use it for God's glory. And close us in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would keep them. I pray that you would keep them in your word. I pray that you keep them in your armor, God. May you protect them. May you help them live to you. May you help them be strong in you, God. And Lord, they're just trying to hold on to you right now, Lord God. And I know a lot of them are so tired. I pray that you would fill them with your spirit. I pray that you would fill them with strength. I pray that they would not try this in their own strength, but they would do it by being strong in the Lord, as it says in Ephesians 6:10. I pray that you would let grace fill their hearts, God. And may they be strong. Let them remember grace. Let them put on the hope of salvation, that there is grace enough to keep me till the end. And let them take up the sword of the Spirit. May they strike back against the lies. God, I pray that you would fill them with the strength to pursue after you. I pray, Lord God, as we fellowship, as we look to you, may you give us your spirit, fill us with your spirit that we may love one another rightly and worship you, God. Strengthen us in you, in Christ's name, pray. So with that, with this week, we're going to spend the time, because last week we did sharing prayer requests, so this week, it's time for you guys to just reflect on your own, spend some time meditating, or read the word, pray, do whatever you need for like 5 minutes, just digesting a little bit before I close us, and close the service. So please do that for like 5 minutes, and then I'll close us.